This morning's reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. You can find it on the in your pew Bible in the Old Testament on page 10 or on the monitor. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife, Sarai, and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. Thus ends the reading for today.
So two things before I begin. First, I want to thank again Sandy Rogers for the slides, and I want to give you a little clue. If you're not catching on yet what she's doing in the slides, she's weaving a theme of the service throughout the slides. Did anyone pick up the theme this morning? What was it? That's a symbol. What did you see? Footsteps. If you paid close attention, there are footprints following through the slide. So that's the kind of thing you need to be looking out for in the slides to fully enjoy what beautiful work Sandy's doing for you. So now you will be in tune and ahead of all the people who will be here next Sunday. And I'm looking forward to what she might do with next week's text. And I will say no more, but that should intrigue every one of you to make sure you're back here, not to miss what she might do with next Sunday's story. The second thing I want to point out to you to help understand this story is that, you know, in the Bible, sometimes people are renamed by God. There is something significant that happens in their life, and when that significant moment happens, God blesses them with a new name. Today's story is a case in point. Just so you'll know who we're talking about today, in this story about a man named Abram and his wife Sarai, you know them better as their blessed names, newly named by God to be Abraham and Sarah. But they've not had their names changed yet in the story, so I'm going to stick with their names of the story. So that's to tell you not to be confused today of who we're talking about. They're one and the same. So having said all of that, we'll get into the story. So imagine the Lord coming to you, and now the Lord said to Abram, and you can put your name in that spot, "Leave your family and your country and go to the land that I am showing you." Period. What's your first thought and question? "Where are we going, Lord?" And he doesn't give the answer. You get the answer in the text, because reading the story, you need to kind of know how the story is going to end. You know they go to Canaan and they set up a new home there, but Abram doesn't know that. All he is told is, "You're going to leave what you know, and you're going on a trip." We don't travel that way, my friends. I don't know that we can really connect to this story. And we don't live in those times, so I don't think we really get the essence of what happened here. Most of us have probably moved once or twice or more than that times in our lives and have lived in different places and different homes. That's kind of our norm. It was not the norm in the time of Abram and Sarai. They lived in the same village their parents lived, and their parents lived, and their parents lived, and their parents lived. You get the idea. They probably actually lived in the same house that their ancestors had lived in. It was a pretty small worldview that they had. It was unheard of to pick up and move even to another village, let alone to an unknown place. And yet the Lord came to Abram and said, "We're going on a trip." Now, what else did he not receive? He did not receive a packing list. Some of you have been on trips where your tour company sent you the packing list, so you would know exactly what to bring for your journey. There is no packing list. There's no known destination. They don't know if they need to bring their winter clothes or their summer clothes or some of both. And they have no forwarding address. They're not going to leave that with the post office to tell them where to send the mail. They're not going to be able to tell their friends how to get in touch with them in their new home. And can you imagine that day at home when Abram came home the end of the day and his wife said, "Honey, how was your day?" And he said, "Well, we're packing up and going on a trip." Well, we're not sure if she really wanted to go on this trip or not, but she went along. And you know, her next question was your question. Well, where are we going? And can you imagine her discontent when he said, "I haven't a clue"? Doesn't go too well at home when your spouse doesn't really know what they're talking about, does it? That's what's happening in this story. What does Abram and Sarah have to do? They have to take an incredible leap of faith. That's the whole point of the story. When God calls you to do something that you can't imagine or expect of yourself, would you be willing to do the same? To take such a leap of faith? To go on a journey into the unknown, and has God ever called you to do that yet? And if not, my guess is God will someday, because that's how life really works. And why was Abram so willing to go? I think the story tells us because he was to receive a blessing. He was to be in partnership with God. Some gift would come to him if he were willing to take this risk of faith. And we know that eventually, he promised Abram that he would be made a great nation and he would be a blessing to all peoples. Now, in the text, you find out at this point he's already 75 years old and his wife is about the same age. They're childless at this point in the story. So they're first scratching their heads thinking, how are we going to be parents of a great nation when we ain't got no kids ourselves? And remember their ages that I just told you. So some miracles are going to be happen in this story, right? You got to keep reading the text to find out how that works out. And then this land that they're going to will be this land of blessing, and they have no idea where it's going to be. And then there's a problem with that land because you found out in the text some people were already living there. And there's some problems in the world today in that part of the world as a result of this story. We won't go down that trail today either. We don't have time. But just imagine yourself doing this kind of journey. An address unknown. Are you willing to take the risk? Are you willing to do what God asks of you? I'm going to tell you a story of a fairly modern day, though she's now deceased, Abram. And you may know her just as well as you know the story of Abraham and Sarah. Her name is Corrie Ten Boom. And you may have heard of her story in the last 20, 30, 40 years. It was turned into a book first and then made into a movie that a lot of people saw and were touched by her story. The Ten Boom family lived in the Netherlands, actually in Amsterdam. Their faith was Dutch Reformed, Calvinist roots. They were very devout Christians. They practiced their faith very seriously, and they took upon themselves as a family to be concerned for others. When Hitler invaded Amsterdam, they started doing something that others also did. They began to hide Jews. And from 1940 into 1944, this one family rescued many Jews and saved their lives. They were turned in by a neighbor. That's what happened in that part of the world at that time. And the Gestapo came and knocked on their door in 1944, about a year before the war ended, and arrested the entire family, but they could not find a single Jew because they had hid them in the home so well. And those Jews' lives were spared. The parents, who were quite elderly at this time, were not sent off to camp, but they subsequently died before the war ended, just by the severity of the conditions in the Netherlands at this time. But Corey and her sister Betsy were sent off to Ravensbrück camp in Germany. And it was in that camp that her sister Betsy had a dream one night, and she came and woke Corey up to share her dream. And she said, "God just spoke to me that when this terrible war is over, we have to come back here to Germany and help our enemies rebuild their lives." Corey basically said to her, "Have you lost your mind? There's no way we're going to come back here and do that." She said, "Sister, that's what God has called me to do." Unfortunately, 3 days later, Betsy died. 15 days later, that camp was liberated and Corey was set free. She had no family in the Netherlands to go home to. Somehow, she found her way to the United States, and that was just by God opening up unseen doors, because very few people were able to make it to the States after the war. She found herself in New York City. She found herself staying at the YWCA. And she could only stay there for a week because they had so many people wanting rooms and they would turn everyone out after a week. And the clerk asked her the day before she left, "Corey, where should we send your mail? What is your forwarding address?" She said, "I have none. I don't know where I'm going next." Later that night, a family came to the Y looking for her. She had spoken at their synagogue earlier in the week telling her story. And they came and said, "We have a vacant room, and we want you to know that you can stay at our home as long as you need to." So the next morning she told the clerk, "I have an address, because God has taken care of me." Her story is a story of faith, leaps of faith, about someone willing to just be patient until God does God's work, opening the doors that God opens. It's the same story with Abram and Sarai. It is also our story if we're willing to trust, if we're willing to partner with God and allow God to open up these doors for us when we feel we're at a wall and don't know what tomorrow will bring, don't know where the next piece of the journey goes, don't know what we should do next, and you're standing in front of a wall and you can't see a door. Just stand there long enough and a door will open. That's what happens if you build a life of faith. Yes, you may not know the address, you may not know what's on the other side, but there will be something there, just like there is something here. All we have to do is walk with God, hand in hand, and you can go through every door that God opens for you. I want to close with part of a prayer. Not a prayer out of our tradition, it's a prayer out of the Jewish tradition. As you may or may not know, this past Monday, our Jewish friends celebrated their new year, Rosh Hashanah. This is a prayer out of that celebration for the new year, and I'd like to read it to you. "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of a new year, 'Give me a light, that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And I replied to that man, 'Go into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. This will be better to you than any light I could give you. And putting your hand in God and going with God is safer traveling than any way that seems known to you. My friends, we are invited to put our hand in God's and go. Go on the journey. Trust that the door will open when it needs. And you will find your way. Amen.